What do you think? Shall we? Are you guys? All right. We're ready to rock and roll, folks. So I appreciate everyone spending time after lunch with us. We're going to be your entertainment for the afternoon. Hooray! Say it with enthusiasm. So this is the first part of a two-part session, so you guys are aware. We're going to try to do a reasonable job of compartmentalizing. And in essence, what we're going to be doing is we're going to share a framework that we have internally and are starting to use internally in terms of driving adoption. But we'll talk more about that. In the meantime, let's start off with some introductions. So Avi Sujith, I'm a customer success manager with Microsoft. It is the best title in the world. Best title in the world. Customer success manager. And I'm actually privileged to work with customers who are looking at deploying and driving adoption and realizing business value from Office 365 in the Texas area. I just moved down from Minneapolis to Austin. Yeah, I was a O365 technical specialist for 6 years up there. And over that time, I've had the entertainment of watching Microsoft disrupt itself in the productivity business. And a lot has changed, but I'm really excited about where we're going and what the kind of value we can deliver now.
So with that, I'll turn on my mic. So I'm Sean Merzina. I'm an Enterprise Office 365 Solution Specialist. I am based here in Houston, Texas. I'm about over 14 years at Microsoft. About 10 years of it, I spent at what I call the mothership back in Redmond, Washington, in the same capacity. So I've had the opportunity to work in this role for many, many years and do a cross breadth of customers. So I've worked in probably every business segment there is within Microsoft. So that's a little bit about my background. As far as the rest of today, what we have lined up, we're going to be a little bit more demanding in keeping you guys interactive and keeping you awake is the other piece, because I know you just had lunch. So we do have a couple activities.
There will be homework.
No, there won't. But what I'd like to do is get an idea of the audience, or we would like to get an idea of the audience first. So the first question I'm going to ask is, how many people in this room are somewhat of an application administrator? Okay, couple, good. How many people in this room are business analysts? There's a BA, couple BAs, okay. Any PMs? Okay. So somebody help me out. There's a lot of people that did not raise hands. So what do the rest of you do? Somebody's got to hop in. I'm looking at you.
You're looking at me.
You're looking at you.
So kind of a hodgepodge of all of those different things. So training, development.
Okay.
Driving adoption of 365 into the company.
Okay.
Getting users trained up and on board.
Okay. So do the rest of you kind of fall in that category as far as trainers, adoption, and so forth? Okay. Good. Perfect audience then. So the other thing we want to make sure that you walk away from in the rest of today is really what we're trying to provide you as a framework. As we all know, any of us that have dealt with driving adoption, end user training and so forth, there's not always a silver bullet. So we don't want to set the expectation that you're walking in and we're going to give you the silver bullet and you're going to run out of here and go, woo, we found the secret sauce. We know exactly what to do. But we do want to give you some tools to help you kind of frame some of those deliverables. And hopefully you'll walk away with some stuff that, you know, we've been able to extract. And a lot of this we've extracted from us internally, but also from customers like yourself, seeing what's been successful. And Avi and myself have had the privilege of seeing a lot of customers do a lot of different things. So we'll give some insights as we go through this content. All right?
The good news is there's a lot of expertise in this room, and yep, we'll be able to leverage some of that. And this framework that we're actually sharing with you is a framework that as I said earlier, we're socializing and making it part of Microsoft DNA.
All right. So what we'll talk about is, you know, the situation today and challenges. I would suspect some of this stuff here is, I don't need to necessarily go through because you're probably experiencing it every day. But driving adoption takes time. I'm hoping you recognize that. We also like to recommend, you know, go after the small stuff first and build from there. Don't try to go after kind of like the, not necessarily that was the case in the last session, but don't go after the big elephant. I had to wrap the elephant thing in there somewhere. So you're welcome. So deployment alone is not enough. This is probably one of the biggest pieces we see from a technology standpoint. We see a lot of implementation stop at the deployment, and it goes much further than that, where we're talking about training, driving adoption, and so forth. And then, you know, what's interesting is cloud services. You're going to hear a lot about this. Cloud services is constantly moving. The nice thing about this is if you actually do any of your due diligence and look at our roadmaps and look at our technology and what we're doing, the innovation that we're driving, there's really not a ton of impact on the end user. We slowly roll out different features, and the purpose of that is to help make your job a little bit easier because you're not dealing with those two-year cycles of, here we go, we're going to roll out a piece of technology, and our productivity is going to be down probably 6 to 7 months just getting the organization ramped up. So there is some theory with our madness, if you want to think in those terms, of what we're trying to do with that. And feel free to interject at any point in time if you have any questions. So objectives, what do you need to be successful? What we're hoping also in this session is you're going to be able to have the opportunity to learn from each other. Because like I said and Avi said, you know, we've got some examples we're going to give you. We'll give you a foundation. But I think there's probably a lot of knowledge in this room alone of successes. And we want to make sure that we share those. Where to begin? This is kind of where we start to get into that framework. And then what resources are available to you specifically from Microsoft to help you kind of go through this journey and these tools?
And I think of it right. The low bar for me on this session is that you have awareness around what we're actually doing and how we're changing. The high bar would be that we actually compel you that the tools and resources that we have can actually help you make this transition within your organizations. And this is something that we're going to give pieces that you will be able to use stepping out immediately.
So what we'll cover, we'll really cover four stages as we go through these models. We'll talk about the first one, obviously. We'll talk about set vision and identity, business scenarios. We would hope that you would do this today as you're driving adoption. I think a lot of times we get wrapped up in the technology, and I'll say we, meaning Microsoft. We get wrapped up around, let's focus everything around a piece of technology that's being deployed and not really taking a step back and focusing around the business objectives and what's it going to drive and what's the end result of the business. Because we know that's really kind of who drives this adoption. The other thing is we'll talk about mapping usage scenarios and obviously creating an adoption plan. Commitment to resources. So it'd be interesting to understand from this audience, people that deal with adoption and training, do you have a team of people that help you with that? Or are you kind of the lone rangers that you feel like you're the lone rangers out on your own doing this? So that's a question to the audience. You're kind of bobbing your head up and down. So is that a yes or no? Or
I will have a team.
Okay. Okay. And how is that team created? Is that by you or is it by the business group or?
It will probably be a combination of business.
Okay. Okay. Is that common for everyone else? Is that pretty consistent? Okay, everybody's shaking their head up and down.
So we were actually talking, and so I'm a learning partner.
Perfect.
Microsoft Learning Partner.
That was the other thing I wanted to ask. How many people are with a partner? There we go. Okay.
So there's a ton of content, as we discussed in the keynote this morning, on Office 365.
Yeah. So those are shifts that we're going through, and if anybody So is anybody familiar with the SharePoint Hub? You remember the SharePoint Hub?
Yeah.
The Productivity Hub.
That's one.
You remember that? And then that just kind of disappeared in 2013. Everyone's like, where did that go? We're starting to bring those things back. So they are actual training hubs in Office 365 tenants that you deliver out to your end users. We also look towards, we also partner very strongly with other training partners. So I apologize if I offend any of the other partners in here, but companies like Brainstorm, we do a lot of partnership. And a lot of these actually even do our own internal training. So we do recognize that we're bringing those resources. And I think, do we have any of those covered in here?
Yeah, so, and the set expectations, right? It's something that we're iterating on and we're going to get better with over time. Part of the reason why this track exists, right, is Microsoft's commitment towards adoption. And so this is a net new attempt for us. And we've actually taken some of the feedback that's happened as we've delivered these summits to adjust the order and the series in which we're providing it. So we're listening to your feedback. Please provide more. We get that more needs to be delivered.
Yeah. Make sure you hit the little feedback button, you know, the little smiley face in our applications. You need to know that kind of thing. So you had a question?
There's a set of new end-user content that has been developed. It's called learn.office.com that complements this whole framework. And that is specific for end-users.
Yep.
And so, and all the scenarios that you're discussing here is also mirrored on the learn.office.com. Yep. It's got a learning center for all this.
Perfect. Thank you. Appreciate it very much. About ISVs?
About the ISV and about the fact that Office 365 by itself is a primarily it's a horizontal solution. Right? When customers adopt Office 365, they would rather verticalize it in a specific way by adding specific workflows, whatever processes and procedures. Right? Now, all the user documentation that we're talking about or the end user documentation we're talking about might be helpful for something which is as flat as an email, right? Which has no verticalization. But when we start talking about everything else outside of email, how do you keep up with the documentation when the platform is changing at such a fast pace?
You know, one of the things that we heard, even from the SharePoint timeframe, and one of the shifts that we're going to try to push towards, right, is trying to move how we're driving adoption from a tool-based approach. So typically when we think about most organizations, what they do, right? We have a SharePoint project, we're going to deploy it, we're going to train out our users, and it's going to be awesome. And we're going to stop. And what we often hear back from end user perspective is, I don't understand why it's necessarily relevant for me, right? There's so much there, I don't know whether I can retain all this information immediately.
Yeah.
What we're moving towards within this type of framework, where you start out with your business scenarios, is an approach that's much more use case driven. And I think that will be illustrated as we continue.
And part of that, you know, it's an interesting, you as the trainers of the organization or the project managers that are assigned to the project, it's almost somewhat your job to filter some of that noise out too. And I'll give you a really, really good example is how I work with customers. First thing I tell customers is don't ever go to Microsoft.com/licensing. You're going to get completely confused and you're going to learn a bunch of stuff you don't really actually need to know about. Let me be that consultant and filter some of that out. So that's the first piece. You will have to filter out some of that noise and then decide what you want to deliver onto the end users from a training perspective. Then the question holds, how do we keep up as trainers? And that's when we reflect to what the keynote was talking about, the keynote speaker on resources that we're making available, public roadmap, learning hubs. That content that you decide on what you will use, what you will consume, and then what you will go out and publish to those end users to drive that adoption. So that it is kind of somewhat of a funnel approach that you have to be proactive in. And you know, we all chose technology to be our career paths. And you know, anybody that jumps into technology knows it's an engine that never slows down. You're always going to be learning. I mean, that's part of the game. So I don't have a perfect silver bullet for you, but that's probably as close as we're going to get to that, at least at this point in time.
I don't want to take much time for this one point, but then I do want to add one more thing. From a technology perspective, for technologists to adapt to new technologies, I get it.
Yeah.
But from
end users.
Users,
yeah.
Adapting is,
yeah.
Is a difficult thing to ask for.
Yeah, yeah. I guess no, it's very valid point. Very valid point. No, it's very intuitive. It's very intuitive. So, and that goes back to our kind of product development. How do we do those things? How do we build it? That becomes more of, that kind of gets us outside of the scope of this and kind of takes it to the technology discussion on how we build our applications. So definitely grab us or grab me or some of my colleagues to ask the experts, and I can kind of walk you through that from a technologist perspective, okay? So how do we drive Office 365 adoption? And I'm even going to dumb it down a little bit, not even Office 365. Let's just talk about end-user consumption of the application or applications. The first one is definitely set a vision and identify a business scenario. You can kind of hear the theme that we keep ringing in these decks is the business scenario. I would imagine most of you kind of do that today because you're dealing with as trainers and so forth. Map usage scenarios. So it's interesting for the audience that deals with training and delivering training. Do you guys kind of do that? Do you map usage scenarios? Have you gone through that process? Everybody's quiet. I need to hear some people from the back. Any of you in the back? Map your scenarios to usage? Not really.
What you give us a better description of what you mean?
You want to go for it, Avi?
Well, and I think we'll
put him on the spot.
We'll also drive more into it.
Yeah.
But in essence, so if how do you deliver training right now? Is it tool based or is it usage based? Let's start there.
User based.
So are you actually doing persona and figuring out how people are going to be using these tools? That, in essence, is what we mean in that second bullet.
The question is, how do you figure out how people are going to use the tool? That's the heart of it.
Yeah.
And I'm just guessing
it takes a couple of things. First is interviewing your audience. I think that's the first piece. Interviewing the business and identifying what's the need and what do they want. So that would help form your usage scenario, and then map. And I'm somewhat cautious to map everything. Don't take the whole Office 365 suite and map it. So I'll give you a really good example. Two scenario based. One is here in Houston, oil and gas, of course, which I suspect most of you are in. Their CEO wanted to be really flat with the enterprise. And his strategy was, I want to communicate out to the rig workers because I feel like that they're somewhat detached from the rest of the organization. And we're missing some important stuff. So that was the usage that they went with. And then from there, we tiered it down to what are the technologies that you could use to supplement that and help that. And then we identified what maybe one or two key technologies were. In this case, they decided to use Yammer as their platform. And then we flipped that and started to build an adoption model of what does that look like? What does a phased approach look like? In this scenario, we went after safety first. Safety was the first approach, and the leaders in that group decided, yes, we want to do it. This is how we're going to apply it. And now that footprint is starting to grow across other business applications. Is that a better answer?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. Perfect. Commit resources. We'll talk about this, and then we'll talk about measure, share, success, and iterate. Ready? I started going deep in these instead of letting the deck do itself, so I apologize.
And so we're going to take a second. We're going to dive deep into the set vision and identify business scenarios. So one of the things Sean said that I just want to do a check. He said that hopefully everybody is defining a vision. Does everyone define a vision? Okay. What's your... Anyone want to share? please, for your organization. Go ahead. What? No, that's brilliant. So just brief recap, right? It was before you start an engagement, it's to really understand what does success look like.
Right.
Who are you having that conversation with?
It's typically the business.
Okay.
And it's IT as well. I mean, you know, we always say, it's, at the end of the day, the whole thing that we don't want to go build something and then someone come back and say, well, we've got, this is what you're going to build.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you're almost doing what I would call almost a mini statement of work that clearly defines what the deliverable is going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyone else?
There was a question in the back, the gentleman.
Yeah.
On top of his, I would also see where they're wanting to go with their goal.
Yeah.
That it's also a good idea to see where their goals are supposed to be, but then also find out how they can get there.
One of the things that we see is oftentimes we do a really great job of kind of setting that vision at a project level, but what we're really trying to encourage people to do, right, as the organization is shifting, is to help define how IT can be a strategic advantage to the organization, right, and set the vision around how we're going to differentiate and map back. So to give you an example of what this could look like, let's flip over to a brief video, and this is around Australian company Tesco, or sorry, Coles. And my audio guy has disappeared on me. Awesome audio guy. Sure. So let's just yank it.
Oh, it's all the way up.
Okay. It's because it's also HDMI for presenting. That's okay. So the premise behind this story, right, is that when you think about Kohl's, like other retailers, the challenge that they had was over the last 10 years, they had become really cost competitive. And so what they do, their business, they are a grocery store type of organization. And they also have things like Walmart, CVS, that sort of thing. And so over the last 4 or 5 years, they had begun to start to really lose some of their customer base. And what they wanted to do was try to figure out, okay, what is that challenge, right? And the challenge basically boiled down to really an employee engagement problem. And so the thing of it is, As the organization started to have a high turnover, as it does in retail, right, your employees are your front face. And because the employees weren't connected in with the organization, the net result was that they weren't giving a great experience. What Kohl's decided to do was they decided to respond to that by trying to work within Office 365, and leveraging things like Yammer, like SharePoint, right, to really create a social intranet and start to drive engagement within their employees. The thing of it is, when I talk to a lot of organizations, one of the things that often comes up is, hey, I would like to be able to align with an executive vision. But the challenge is, I can't get the executives to engage. Does that resonate? I would say that part of the challenge has been that a lot of our businesses have started looking at technology, right, as a potential cost center. and stop seeing it as an opportunity to differentiate. The reason why setting a vision is so important is because if we can actually use that vision setting exercise to elevate our spot where we start within an organization, right, it becomes an opportunity for us to invite executive engagement. Does that make sense? So with that, hey, Sean, we're going to skip the video since sound, you know, it's all good. So with that, what we got is we have a three-step part of this framework, right, that starts around setting a vision statement. We'll work through an exercise, securing the executive sponsor, and then we'll start breaking into identifying some of the business and usage scenarios. If this is done right, we actually are going to be able to get our executives to participate and have a seat at the table. So I think I did a reasonable job of already selling why it's important to set that vision. And what I want to do is, before we start diving in really deep, go ahead and next slide, is we have these tools published on the Success Center. Who's been out to the Success Center? Do you all know? Awesome. So I'm going to do a quick demo of it. And this is a tool that you'll have available to you afterwards. So here, what we're looking at is we are actually looking at the Success Center. When you start out with it, it's at success.office.com. It is targeted towards end users, so the front page really is around scenario base. So you're going to see things around the five major scenarios that we are actually targeting. And so these are scenarios that also will be available within the Microsoft Experience Center and will also be in the deep dives starting on day two. Okay, you guys tracking with me? When you also take a look at the top, in addition to the scenarios, you're going to have details around the adoption methodology. And so the four buckets that Sean basically set up for us are all available here. And in these buckets, what you actually have, right, is you have basically the decks that we're going to walk through. And this is where the exercises come in, right? So to internalize some of this, what we're going to do is we're going to turn it into more hands-on, and we'll work through a couple of exercises that align to this content.
So we're going to make everybody do push-ups. Wrong kind of exercise.
So starting around in the vision scenario, in the visioning exercise, what we're looking for is we're actually looking for participation basically at all four of these different levels. And while it is difficult to get an executive to actually lean in, what we recommend is actually starting small. Mm-hmm. How many of you are familiar with the green light, yellow light, red light construct? Okay. So in essence, our theory is that within any organization, you're going to have a portion of that organization that are your green lights. These are people that buy into the idea that technology can help them differentiate how they actually work. And not just low level, right? We're also talking executives. So you're going to find a line of business lead that wants to lean in and say, I think that we could work a little bit differently, right? And we can leverage technology to make that change. Start with your green lights. A piece of advice that Jared Spataro, who's the Vice President for Enterprise Social at Microsoft, gave basically his technical project managers, right? He basically said, listen, you could spend all your day arguing and trying to change a red light person. You might as well be talking to a door, right? It's not going to happen. But if you start with someone who actually is open and willing to try, what will happen is that you actually can make them successful. And if you make them successful, then that's how you're going to actually change your yellow lights into green lights and red lights into yellow lights.
So do most of you, when you do projects and kick off, you know, consumption and adoption, do you find you typically have an executive sponsor already, or do you have to go build that executive sponsor? I'm just curious, more from the audience. Kind of, you have to build it? And have you found some tricks or successful ways of doing that that may help the rest of the audience?
Answer the question, what do I get out of it?
Perfect, okay, okay. And you've
what they're getting
at. Yeah, no, totally, yeah, okay. And how many iterations do you have to go through before they get of what's important? Do you find that you only have one shot at it, or you have multiple shots?
It varies.
Okay, all right, okay.
So as a project manager, my company was to roll this out, right? So that decision's made at the CIO level. And now I'm like, hey, you're on this team, you're going to push this out. What are some of the questions that I may ask for talking about what the vision is, or why are we doing it?
I will pay you later.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that we're going to break into actually right now, more or less, is to actually work through a couple of examples of building out visions at our tables, right? And so here are some of the questions that you may want to consider. And what we're going to do is we're going to actually leverage Office 365, and hopefully my Microsoft people are still here. And we will collect, and we're going to, in essence, learn from each other by sharing visions that we come up with, okay?
The other thing on this is, I don't know if any of you in the audience has noticed this, but I've started to see, it's interesting as things shift, almost new industries are created. And I'm seeing a lot of people become change management agents. Have you guys seen any of those floating around? Somebody's laughing. So do you have a good story about that? You're laughing. So do you? Okay. But we see that happening a lot at the business analyst level, title changes. I'm actually starting to see it at a CIO level. They're starting to change their titles so they sit more in the board of the business and not so much IT. So a lot of times I look for this in an enterprise because they may already have a footprint in answering some of these questions already. So just food for thought.
Okay. So with that, why don't we break for 5 minutes at tables, and we're going to actually spend some time drafting our own vision statement. Looks like the network is going to give us some challenges, so that's okay. In essence, when we want to look at what we're looking at is just a benefit from your own shared experience, right? And so, let's actually break out and start facilitating.
And if you do have a project that you're working on right now, use something that's actual. Or something that you've worked on that you're still in that crafting. So you're benefiting each other as you kind of work through this exercise. See, we told you we were going to put you to work. All righty.
Yeah. The question you're answering... Okay. So the ask would be, would you guys grab a table and help facilitate? Would you grab a table and help facilitate?
I was going to say, what do you need to do specifically?
Right now, out of it, a vision. The question, yeah, what is your what's the vision for how Office 365 could potentially benefit your organization?
Yep.
And at the end, what we'll do is we'll have a couple people just share.
Andrew's writing it down or whatever.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Not posting it.
Right? Yeah, it's not working.
Audio for the video, or you won't do any more videos?
No, I won't do any more videos. Okay.
Essentially, yeah, they get a workforce. When we actually have that workflow to where when they get to that area, they can actually see what was done beforehand so they can see how the project started and what the end goal is to where they can see the process and make it go.
Yeah. 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 Design a way to make it easy, simple.
Does that resonate with the rest of you? Do you all have similar challenges with onboarding? How does it work in your organization now? Onboarding new employees? You know? How does onboarding work?
That's a focus of ours. It's a very broken. From a technology standpoint, I'd say it's very broken. Technology stack right now is not a cloud. It's very manual. It's a set them up in the right system, email somebody, wait right for them to respond, or open a ticket, it gets buried in the queue. So, yeah, there's a lot of that. It's not even before you even get to the training.
How does, when you guys are thinking about your onboarding scenarios, how does that work with your business counterparts? I imagine recruiting is involved.
So we typically usually have somebody who's in charge of the interviewing, hiring, and things like that. So I guess it's a matter that once somebody's chosen and they've been hired, and from there they're passed to somebody in the company, depending on what department they're going to or what their responsibilities are.
One of the things that we're finding is that if it's actually painful for onboarding process, oftentimes that'll turn out in terms of the ability to retain employees. From an intern, think about converting interns into full-time employees, right? That doesn't basically your interns don't no longer want to continue to work, and we're in the middle of a war of talent, right? Where an intern's going to have 4 or 5 offers. So how do you make sure the right people stay within your organization?
I guess going back to identifying the need. Identifying the need and seeing what the direction of not somebody you need now, but somebody that you're going to be able to use now and then incorporate and later get to where they can essentially give you what you need in the future.
I guess for us, so Mattress Firm, right? Like it's a different process for ourselves. People there, they are structured. I mean, they have that process. They do it a lot. We have a lot of salespeople that come in and out of the company. It's just the nature of the beast. So
yeah.
Just a lot of turnover. So they have what they call ground school. They bring in in regional different areas. They bring them in for a week and actually have a week long session with them. From a corporate side where I'm at, it's much more difficult to take. I'm over the infrastructure. There's one open position right now. I might not have another one for 2 years, 3 years. So it's harder to build that structure for both of them. Something very regimented.
What's the impact of having a bad onboarding experience for, your shared services?
It takes longer to onboard them in. It's more going to someone and it's word of mouth. You hope that they're taking them down the right path.
It's kind of interesting because it's one of those things where you go out and come to a lot of things bad. So when we actually do that pretty well. I mean, one of the things that we did was we built a SharePoint site. So when you go to hire someone, it's called the PAP. I forget what that's an acronym for. But when you, it's a request. And so IT
key when you check, okay, it's going to be 10 person when you drop saying, okay, they can give me a lock back or whatever. And so then it gives you more choices.
What I always see is the top is
all right. So let's my lavalier. Let's go ahead and come back together. So it sounds like we have some really great conversation that's actually happening at the tables. And what I'd like to do is solicit some volunteers to share a little bit around the conversation that you actually had at your table. So does anyone feel like sharing right now with the larger group? What did you actually talk about at? Here we go. So what did you guys actually talk about at table?
Talk on the mic. That's all right. All fine. So we had talked about. I'll wait. So we were actually talking about. We have already gotten buy-in from the executives. They're actually the ones kind of pushing out this change in our organization, mainly due to document overriding. They kept overriding each other's documents and changes within documents. And I know, it's pretty funny, isn't it? And so they've kind of pushed us down, but now we're at the point of how do we get the general user base bought in and adopted into this solution. That's the point that we're at right now with our company. And so we're trying to figure out how do we sell that and get folks excited about it and tie that into a vision. And I think it just centers around having your documents everywhere, no matter what device you're on, using the mobile devices, those kinds of things. I don't have a formal vision statement for you, but that's where we're headed.
That's awesome. So you already have an executive. You have a buy-in around a potential problem. Now the question becomes, okay, how do we expand it? So we're going to spend some more time talking about that. I know we spent some time talking about HR challenges, particularly around onboarding new employees. You guys want to go? One of you pick.
All right, about onboarding. Essentially, one of the things that we're focusing on onboarding when we get somebody new is, I guess, getting them more integrated into the team and making sure that they understand, you know, what the vision actually is and where it's going versus, you know, a lot of the times you get some new candidates in and they're working. And a lot of the time they know what the responsibilities are, but they don't quite have that feel of that vision and where it's actually going. So essentially, I guess, getting them more involved, you know, using Office 365, you know, getting them more involved on what the goals are and how to get there.
One of the things that I thought was interesting as we spent time talking about the group, right, is we started asking questions like, okay, what is this potential impact? And then looked at, for example, with like Mattress Firm as an example, right? They're doing really well with onboarding in their sales department. But the onboarding experience, when you start to look at shared services, it's lacking. And so the question becomes, what is that impact, right? How is it being handled now? What can we do that could potentially make it better and drive some improvement? And becomes a way for us to find an executive who actually has the pain and be able to present a potential use case that eventually maps to a solution. Anybody else want to share what? Go ahead.
This is an interesting discussion at our table, and I suspect this is quite common, in which
them costs. You know, they got quote-unquote an offer they couldn't refuse. And so they had the software, but no one was taking advantage of it. Or it had to do with control by IT, because there were so many independent groups having collaborative software in different silos, because it wasn't under control. And so, you know, we understood there's an underlying vision for consolidation there, but, you know, the reality is sometimes it's sitting there without a vision, and nothing's happening.
And that happens quite a bit. And that's what we call shelfware. It just sits on the shelf, you know. So that's an important piece. And, you know, like I mentioned earlier, don't get caught up in the bytes and bits, because we have a habit of doing that. We get in the bytes and bits, and when you try to speak to the end user, that's just foreign to them. They don't care about the bits and bytes.
I mean, then we're able to come up with like a simple vision of seamless collaboration from anywhere, anytime.
And I think one of the things that ends up happening is that when you have something that starts out with the reason why we purchased this, right, was because we had a price that was too good to believe, you're going to get some pretty open terms around what our vision is. Like, hey, I want to actually, I want to collaborate better. What does that mean, right? And how does the organization collaborate now? And it starts to ask, it's about asking the questions that we were asking around our table to drive into, okay, what are the opportunities for us to actually define a vision? And it's important, I think, when you start to look at driving these tools and driving this adoption, right, that getting this buy-in at the beginning helps you align what you actually try to do to something that matters to the organization, right? I mean, that's the heart of actually driving real business value, right? You want to make sure that you're aligned to, okay, this is where someone wants to drive my organization. One of the things that when we start to take a look at identifying that vision becomes part of why executives really are important. So when we take a look, and we use a change management methodology within Microsoft called the ADKAR. It stands for awareness, desire, knowledge, ability, results, right? It's a basic change management flow that you walk through. And when you look at the desire aspect, turns out when we're being asked to make a change, we think about change in two ways. First, we want to know why we should change, right? Then we want to know how should we change and how does that matter? And so it turns out why, actually, we're more likely to listen to a why from an executive and the how from one of our line managers. So when you look at how you're trying to sell the idea of file sync and share for the rest of your organization, the why someone needs to actually change how they work from a file share to actually using a cloud service needs to be articulated, and you'll have more success if it actually is articulated from an executive, right? And then the how becomes much more practical. In essence, we want to make sure that our executives understand ABCs, right? Active, visible participation, that they help us by building a coalition with other people that face the same type of problem and actually communicate directly to the employees why we were undertaking this.
I'd like to quickly add something.
Go ahead.
So this goes back to the previous slide about the vision.
Sorry.
So I think there is one more dimension that is important for the vision, which is for whom is it for? And in my experience with working with customers, I've seen that the vision for, let's say, external users, quote-unquote customers, is different and has a different degree of sensitivity than for a vision for internal employees. right? So yeah. that would be another dimension yeah. that I think would be important yeah. to understand.
Yeah. Yeah, so you can, it's definitely around the user profiles if you do that. We try to be very proactive with our customers to actually do user profiles because sometimes we can map technology or workloads to user profiles depending on where they sit. So that I think that's an important piece to add. If you want to go that granular and you want to build those vision statements, whether it's a certain type of workforce or a department, I don't know if you want to necessarily go as granular, but if you're working on a big project that encompasses a lot, like I think about other enterprises that I work with that, you know, a big practice of theirs is drilling, and they may have a vision statement and knowledge management communities and so forth around just that group, so they build those vision statements. So that's a very valid point, very valid point.
And I think that gets to a key, right? One of the things that happens is your vision is going to change based off of your audience, which also lines into the idea of a business scenario. So a vision doesn't have to be enterprise wide. It can be specific to an audience that you're trying to deliver. The next step after you actually have your vision in this process really boils down to defining a business scenario. So When we take a look at business scenarios, the major premise behind it, oftentimes when I'm talking to a customer, right, the way this conversation basically goes is they say, hey, tell me use cases of other customers who have been successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they say, okay, great. Let's actually try to work this out with a project team. One of the things that we find is that in order for you to actually get usage, right, it's going to be specific to your organization. And so what we want to do is we want to make sure we're mapping the usage scenarios that we're targeting to what the company's vision is for how it's trying to move a specific department, like sales as an example, or how it's trying to fix onboarding, right, and actually win the talent war. In essence, when we start to look at usage scenarios, what we're trying to do is we're trying to ensure that we're tying into effective or existing initiatives and then be able to set the stage for the measurement phase later on.
Also, you want to look at, so, you know, these are three criteria we look at, and a lot of this we've already spoken about, but to ensure the business scenario ties into the existing initiatives that your organization strives towards, and I didn't even remember the second one, so I'll have to wait until he flips back over.
Sorry.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, he's got me all confused. My Vanna White's not doing a very good job right now. Anybody remember what the second one was before I got an eye on it? Even from my Microsoft colleagues? You guys are supposed to back me up here. There we go. Define a clear business scenario, which can effectively measure success. You know, I think this can tie into those, you know, you were talking about maybe building a vision scenario to specific work groups. That may be a strategy you want to apply because it would be a little bit easier to measure instead of a broad kind of approach. So, you know, it's that fine art of when do we get too granular, but when can we be granular enough to actually be able to put some measurable success behind it and be able to pull results. The other thing is, you know, as we mentioned earlier, there is a lot of content. We are continuing to publish on this, so look towards those. Look towards the Customer Success Center, which Avi showed to you. Within that, we've got Getting to Know the Office 365 booklet, and then, of course, we have, as was mentioned earlier, we have e-learning stuff that's coming out that's going to supplement things like the old SharePoint Productivity Hub and so forth. So what I don't have a pulse on is how quick they update that content, and if it's like it was with the Productivity Hub, that I'm not sure, right? Do you know? Would you happen to know?
So V1 was in September, and okay. We're actually looking at V2 before the end of this calendar.
Nice. Okay. So quarterly, probably a little less than quarterly. So the other thing is, I didn't see it mentioned on any of these decks in here, but I would keep a pulse on the office blog, the official office blog. There's a lot of good content. You saw the keynote speaker. You could query down specific things, updates, news, and so forth. That's always a really good resource, too. As far as example scenarios, you know, I'm sure you have a bunch of different ones already in your mind, especially with an industry focus. Collaborative projects, you know, for, just take a pulse, how many in this room are not with energy or an oil and gas company? I want to be respectful. So financial vertical? What are the different verticals or industries?
I'm just in, it's called Invesco.
Oh, yeah, I know. Okay. I know Invesco. So financial. Okay. So I want to be relatable. So this for you would probably more be around some of the projects you're working on with traders, you know. For oil and gas, I see a lot of work here around knowledge management communities. I'm sure most of you have a knowledge management community effort in place because of the whole generation things and engineers getting ready to retire and that whole thing. I already talked about a transparent communication. So the session that we opened up this morning did a really good job of talking about the responsive organization. I don't know if that's a approach you guys are thinking about. But that's a really good example, and I mentioned that earlier. You know, CEO wants to flatten the organization, wants to hear from the people that are out in the field. And it's interesting, Microsoft has very much gone through this. It's been an interesting ride for people that have been around for Microsoft for a long time, because we have completely turned internally upside down to where if I want to communicate with project managers, they will not return email. This won't happen.
And so
won't happen. So how I do it is through Yammer. So they have groups, I communicate, and what that allows is other people to jump in. So you're talking about, you know, file sync issues. You'd love to see all my colleagues on that thread with the project manager or product managers, but that's how we get really quick in our innovation and find those things that we can address. And then inspired work. So I'll give you a really good example of this is, depending on how you formulate it, sometimes when you look at adoption, don't always look at it from a business perspective, okay? And let me give you an idea of what that would look like. There's one company I work with, their safety team. They actually have a group that's set up that they take the funniest pictures of things that are happening that they see on the road that are completely unsafe. So like this week, I wish I had my camera out. Sunday, I'm driving through our neighborhood, and this gentleman has a house that the front peaks this way, and he's got two peaks on either side, and he's got a ladder on one peak putting up lights. And I'm just like, oh, I wish I had a camera to take a picture of that. But, you know, that in itself can drive adoption, those type of groups. So think about that. Okay. Anybody else have any other thoughts on this?
One of the things that we're trying to tie into is, so with you, once you have your large bubble, which were basically the different vision statements for those organizations that Sean was mentioning, right? Next, when you're thinking about your business scenarios, just ask, okay, what are the factors that actually can drive that type of impact? Mm-hmm. And so this is an example that we were running through for innovative culture. And once you have those examples, then you have basically the common challenges, which sets us up really towards solutioning, right? Oftentimes what we're starting with, as the visioning exercise shows, right, is it's about asking the right questions and probing the next level deeper. So
with that, we have, you know, planning and developing the campaign. So again, you'll see is, you know, executing a successful plan. So what'd be interesting to understand is when we talk about a campaign, as you roll out your projects, you find the vision statement, you roll that out, you kind of get end user buy-in. I'd be interested to understand if any of you do like launch events. Anybody do launch events here or kickoff events or anything like that? Okay. So, and I'm assuming once you've done one, you've learned the value of that, and that's just a continuous practice in your campaign. Maybe, maybe not.
It's a continuous practice, but I wouldn't say that we're necessarily really good at it. So.
Okay. You're evolving. You're kind of figuring it out as you go. Okay. Yes, sir.
When you say launch events, so yeah, we do them, but also talking from the customer perspective too. I just want to make sure I kind of talk to tell him launch a particular solution. So I can think of an oil company we work with where we help them to actually set up the launch events, get them ideas and things to do to foster that initial adoption. So really, really interesting things like bringing kiosks into the company, all types of different things that you can do to really make it exciting, get people leading up to it, then to actually have a launch.
Yep.
So it's to build up and then launch.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to put one plug in for you too on this around your campaign and launch events. We do have a Microsoft store here in Houston for businesses. They will get on board in helping do launch events. So if, you know, like right now, holiday season, great time to think about those. And that's when I used to do them for customers. Is holiday time, we'd bring in the company store, we'd talk about new products, home use program if they had rights. So think about that in your campaign. That's where we've seen some of the most successful campaigns happen. Promoting the campaign, obviously I just talked about that. Building and submitting concepts. So this is also very important, your campaign. And I hope you're all doing this today. You're not at an end destination, okay? When you release, let's say, a capability to your end users, don't just leave it at that. Make sure you're always getting feedback and changing or adopting and helping it be fresh, okay? Don't have it just as an end destination. And that goes to soliciting feedback. So some of the most successful I've seen is where they've done kind of this feedback mechanism, and the project teams, we'll just call them that, or the launch teams or the project teams, actually take a rating and decide what takes priority in that feedback and then go and attack those. Okay, so the end users always actually see some changing. Okay?
And so when we take a look at that first, the first step, right, really what happens is it becomes, if we've done it right, we have a strong vision and we have an idea of what our usage scenarios are, where it becomes self-evident how we're going to solve this with potential technology. And so one of the next, as we dive into this framework a little bit more, the next step really is to go deeper into our usage scenarios.
Okay. So, you know, the first step obviously is your journey. There we go. So we're going to dive into, I got a little ahead of myself on that one. So we're going to dive into map usage scenarios. So we're in the second phase. And then we'll go into, help me out, Avi, we're going into 3 and 4 in the second session.
That's okay. Right.
So we'll wrap up the rest of this in this first one. So map usage scenarios and create adoption plan. If you'd like to go to the next one. What you need to accomplish. So, you know, go through other customers' examples, methods, and resources available to help to produce those deliverables. So the best way to consume this is I would hope that most of you are well connected with your peers here in Houston in your industries. So, you know, in this scenario, you definitely want to leverage assets and learn from others. I would also advocate if you do have a Microsoft account team and have people like myself, solution specialist, leverage us as a mechanism because we've got a lot of examples, a lot of experience working with other customers, and we can bring some breadth to kind of what we've seen is successful. And I think it sounds like you guys are doing some good practices in that too. Define and prioritize your solution. So this is kind of like the conversation we're having over here. I always put caution on this. because we sometimes can get lost very quickly when we're prioritizing our solutions because we start to dive into the bytes and bits. So if I can leave you with anything, don't get into the bytes and bits. Okay, think about the overarching result. Create your adoption plan. We'll go through that. And then build a champion program. So this is big. It sounds like you're kind of already, some of you are already doing that. You kind of build your champions around you. And Avi talked about kind of the, he'd probably go into a little bit more depth about the red dots, the yellow dots, and the green dots. I always think of Skittles when he says that. So anyway, I'm trying to keep you guys awake. I'm not a good comedian, you know, obviously. I'd be doing that full time if I was. So this is a, we've got a couple we're going to go through, and I'm not going to read, obviously, these line by line, but I'm going to let you just kind of sit and absorb these. These are frameworks that you can work with, that, again, this content is available on that Success Center, and I think we've already posted this deck out in the Yammer group that you can consume. But these are, you know, these are good frameworks that you can look at and decide from, you know, a member perspective. Am I a project manager? Am I a department lead? Am I a meeting leader? And then go to the business value. Okay. Now, obviously, you'll want to modify it for your own scenarios, but this is a good framework to work from.
One of the thing, one of the things that I think is important is that really the structure is more or less for the audience.
Yep.
As this person, I want to do this so that I can realize this benefit. This means this is what I need to do.
Yeah, sure.
This is a structure that we found when you're actually defining a use case. If you follow it, it leads towards things that are more actionable and aligned with your business scenario. Does that make sense?
So I'm going to, you don't need to go back one slide, but the framework that we put up in the previous slide, do any of you do that today, or just do you find that's just too mentally challenging? And I don't mean that you're not smart. I mean that from an exercise standpoint. So let me be sure what I use by that word. Do you just find that's too much work on your end, or you're all so quiet? I need to wake you up a little bit. Yeah, the processing of developing it. Do you go through that effort? Perfect. So it is helpful, and you've done that, and you've seen success from it.
And it's also, I mean, it's something that your typical business analyst is very doing and already does. And if you don't already, if you're not the business analyst in your project, you're not going to get fully engaged to help facilitate that.
So do most of you have that availability to bring in a business analyst in your projects to help frame that out? You're all shaking your head. Good. Perfect. Fantastic. All righty. Yeah. Are you going to say something, Avi?
Steve, I know that you have some experience delivering these types of conversations at a handful of different customers. Can you share?
I think the main thing with this is just making sure you have the right people in the room to do this exercise. I did this exercise with a group of comms folks, and the use case that they came up with themselves was around traders, actually, financial traders. And as we started to walk through the scenario, we hit a roadblock because their communications folks, they didn't have any idea to talk about the role of a trader. So we said, okay, let's table this and let's get a room, let's get the right audience into the room to actually do this. But when you do have the right audience of people in the room to do this exercise, it's really impactful because they're talking about their role, what they're trying to accomplish. They generally understand how it fits into the, you know, the benefit for the rest of the organization.
How do you get?
Use a lot of those questions that you had previously to run through this particular.
How do you get the right people? Go ahead.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Was how do you know what whether you want to do it by role or by, you know, a meeting participant is pretty generic. You can probably address them across the board within any organization. Engineers, sometimes it's really challenging to pinpoint who are the engineers in the organization. How are you going to target those?
Deliver
the training, communication to the
Yeah, you. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I think in a lot of cases they self-select. So
yeah.
Don't just go after engineers, just to go after engineers.
Yeah. Yeah.
But instead, to obvious and Sean's point earlier on green dots, yellow dots, red dots, find the green dots and say, hey, we're raising our hand. We have a problem that we need to solve. Can you help us? And then they're the ones that are more willing to have.
You know what I found also is most enterprises, most companies have what they call, in their different forms, but they call them young professionals. It's usually the people right out of college or 10 years less in industry, and I'll go hunt for those people because they typically be the ones that want to get involved from the different departments. And ultimately, they're trying to make a statement too because they're new to the industry. And what I find is when you get those champions, they sometimes will typically pull along their management with them. So that may be, if you have that bucket available to you, I'd look for that bucket across. I found that to be a very successful focus to go after. And then, you know, as we kind of all go through the generation gaps and stuff, eventually you'll get some people in. So from all different ranges. Avi, did you have some insight on that?
Just one last thing on this is when you do this with a group, the other real nice benefit that you get to these guys' point earlier is that you get real direct buy-in because you're actually having them build this on their own. So now there's a sense of ownership from them to say, okay, yeah, these are our problems and this is how we can solve them.
Thank you. Okay. So we've kind of talked through this. We've talked through this already in some detail. The area we'll go into is obviously create your adoption plan, because we've already talked about the first one, define and prioritize your solutions. And then we'll talk about, and I'm going to probably have Avi, Steve, talk a little bit more about building these champion groups, because they've done a lot of work around what that looks like. And they're a little bit more skilled in that than myself. I'm still building that art. So, all right.
So, sorry.
That's it. I'm done. He just kicked me off the stage.
Yeah.
He said, thank you. You're done.
Yank. So,
drop the mic. In essence, we're gonna continue diving through on the next stage, but. In the next session, we'll continue diving through for the rest of map usage scenarios, commit resources, and measure and share and iterate success. But really what we're trying to do, right, is get to the spot where this becomes iterative and we're not just launching a product, but we're trying to solve a problem. And then we move towards the next phase of trying to solve another problem. And by doing that, it becomes clearer around which tool you want to use when, because you already have it mapped with your usage scenarios.
Go ahead.
Cool.
Now we go, thank you. So what do we have? Do we have a break now?
We do. So we have a break until 3 o'clock.
So it isn't formally on this, but if there's any Q&A or if you just have questions, we can leave off the A if you want to. No, I'm just being funny. So ask away. And I'm going to ask one question to the audience. Has this been helpful so far? Have you pulled anything from it? I see some heads nodding, some heads. Are you getting what you want out of this session?
Brandon, what do you need?
Yeah, that's a better question. What would you like to see differently?
It's not that you need to answer all of our questions. I think for myself, what I'm getting out of is I'm generating a lot of questions that I'm asking myself.
Good.
But you're not going to know the answer to.
Yeah, correct.
Right? So that's what I'm doing. You say something, I'm like, oh, how are we going to do this?
Perfect.
How are we going to do that?
Perfect.
And you're not going to know, so I'm not going to ask it.
But ask us, because you do have a lot of people that have a lot of different, and I would even say as far as not necessarily asking us directly, but asking the audience too. Because there's a lot of things I think people have done here that could learn from others. So
one of the things that we're going to try to encourage people to do is model behaviors that you want to seek, right? And when we look at the way most of us want our organizations to shift, part of that is we're also trying to encourage people to work out loud, right?
Yeah.
And get them to share more information about what they're working on. Don't keep it on your desktop, but actually post that somewhere where other people could potentially find it. Huge opportunity here where we learn from each other. So please, as you start to think through, share. Go ahead.
So we're in this track, do you even talk about things like some of the decisions on whether you create a site collection versus a subsite within a site collection?
Yeah, that's what we call.
Kind of organize a lot of this data.
Like the basic information architecture type of scenario. Yeah,
recommendations, pros and cons of your decisions?
Yeah, there's a couple ways you can go about it. One is, you know, looking at a partner or doing what we call deployment planning services, where you come in and you look at the environment, you help in that information architecture. Because information architecture is going to be different for everyone. Yeah. You know, you decide how granular you want to get and where and how you want to build that architecture from an application standpoint. Other things we'll do is, you know, we'll host what we call ADS sessions, architect design sessions, in our Dallas facilities to walk customers through that.
Typically,
we won't be covering that in this. We won't be doing IA today.
It's the next level down after you have your business scenario, right? Because it depends on what that scenario actually looks like.
And, I mean, there's some good content out on TechNet, but I always warn people, don't fully digest Governance 101 because you'll never get out the gate. You'll spend all the time architecting what it's going to be, and then you'll go to roll it, and users will be like, what in the heck did you over-architect this? Okay. So you have to kind of find your balance. And I like to look at, when I look at, there's actually, come and grab me at the expert section, because I have way to categorize that.
Why don't we do this, experts. Because we're 1 minute over. So we'll just stay up here and take any questions or see y'all in the continuation of this session. Okay, so thank you. Yeah.